Welcome to What's for Dinner, a radio show about food, cooking, and eating, and sharing favorite recipes from Petersburg, Alaska, and around the world. Brought to you by KFSK Community Supported Radio in Petersburg, Alaska, I'm your host, Mindy Anderson. And coming up on What's for Dinner today, Sunday dinner, sliders for Super Bowl Sunday, the drink of the week, and my sweet tooth. That's all coming up on What's for Dinner. Support for What's for Dinner on KFSK comes from Hammer & Wecon Grocery Store, offering an expanded organic produce selection, cheeses, meats, Italian breads, and special occasion cheesecake and birthday cakes in the deli. In the meat department, Duane's Famous Sausage, with staff happy to make those special cuts. Delivery and van service available. Hammer & Wecon Grocery Store, a Petersburg family-owned business since 1921. Welcome to What's for Dinner. I'm Mindy Anderson, your host. I'm not a chef. I just love to cook, and I'll admit sometimes I cook real flops. This weekend, the night before, I can't remember what night it was. I guess it was Saturday night. Chicken with garbanzo beans, kale, olives, lemon, served with couscous, one of my favorite meals. Make some tzatziki, and which is yogurt and cucumber. I throw feta cheese in it and a little garlic. Really, really good. So that was a good meal. Also had some pita bread with that. And then also this weekend, some spicy potato wedges. Very easy and good. Fun to have when you're having sandwiches or maybe with sliders that we're going to talk about later on in the show today. Also, some really easy coleslaw. I didn't have to cut a thing. I just bought coleslaw from the bag this time. and then I made lots of desserts, and I'm going to give you the recipe for a really good caramel sauce toward the end of the show today. But today we'll start off with chicken, garbanzo beans, kale. I've given you this recipe before. But what's so fun about this recipe is you can do whatever you want with it and spice it any way that you want to. And with the addition of some lemons and olives, you can really change it kind of into a Mediterranean-type dish. You can make it Mexican spicy. You can turn it into an Indian spice. I mean, whatever spice you want to use with this meal, it really, really works. But start off with some good chicken. I usually like to use dark meats, you know, either chicken thighs or chicken legs. The reason I like to do that is because it cooks at about the same time. Once you start getting chicken, if you're going to use chicken breasts, maybe you just want all chicken breasts. But then it all cooks about the same time. And but certainly you could put the chicken breast. You can cook a whole chicken with this. You could spatchcock a chicken or butterfly it out and cook a whole chicken with this dish as well. And then you have the chicken breast or whatever leftover chicken you want to use for a really great soup later on. In fact, I do still have leftover from this, and it's going to make a delicious soup. The leftover, you know, whatever juices and maybe some fat from the chicken and the cooked vegetables, the garbanzo beans and the kale, all of that is going to make a really great soup, maybe tonight, leftover. So start off with your chicken, and I just used a mixture, a spice mixture, had some curry in it. So whatever you wanted to use, a little bit of curry on this chicken, some paprika, onion, garlic, salt and pepper, and I browned the chicken in a little bit of avocado oil, and I just used dark meat. Brown it in olive oil and set it aside. Make sure you don't crowd your pan because you want the chicken to brown nicely. The oil needs to be hot. Your chicken should be nice and dry when you put it in so it doesn't stick. And, you know, don't try to move the chicken around too much either. Let it sit there and brown, and then flip it when it's nice and brown. But the more you move it, it's not ever going to get brown if you keep moving it around all over the place. So let it just sit in there. In the meantime, you can, you know, get out your kale and your garbanzo beans and everything else that you need. Get the chicken spiced and then into the pan in the avocado oil and let it sit there. And then give it or you can use whatever oil you want. Give it a flip, brown it on all sides. Sometimes I flip it maybe three different times, and once it's nice and finished, get out a plate and just put it on a plate and set it aside. And then you have what was left of the oil, and then also oil from the chicken. I like to leave the skin on the chicken. If you don't leave the skin on the chicken, it's isn't going to be as flavorful. Of course, it's more healthy. But you could even brown the chicken and take the skin off it before you eat it. But some people are real anti-chicken skin, and you just have to figure that out when you're making this dish. Then you take an onion, a whole yellow onion, chop it up into a small chop, dice it up, and throw that in there. I also will let that then get soft and start to sweat a little. And then I add the kale, one bunch of kale. It doesn't matter really what kind of kale you're using. If you've got a nice thick stem, though, go ahead and take out the stem and set that aside. But I just chop, chop, chop into small pieces, and in it goes. And before you know it, it cooks right down. I also add, I like to add with this particular dish, I had a half of a jar of kind of the Bistro Mediterranean olive blend. So in it has big, nice big green olives, and then it has some pepperoncinis. It has really good, a real good vinegar juice mixture with herbs. It also has some garlic in there, red peppers. So it's a nice mix. And juice and all, I had a half jar of that and threw that in there. So I had about 8 olives and other stuff mixed. And because I put that in there, I didn't need to use any wine this time and deglaze the pan because I had that vinegary mixture and that was just going to be enough. Also, I threw in a couple whole roasted garlic cloves. When I roast garlic, I like to roast quite a bit at a time. And then you just put it in a jar in the fridge. It lasts quite a while. You could put it in olive oil. You could put it in a little vinegar and stick it in a jar. But roast a bunch of it at once, and it's great. So I probably threw about 10 of those in there as well. And let it all cook down. So you have garbanzo beans, kale, you have some of the fat from the chicken, you have the avocado oil, salt, pepper. I also use some red pepper flakes. Okay, so you've got that nice mixture happening, and then, you know, I threw in the juice from those olives. And then once that was cooked down pretty well, I added the chicken back into the pan, and I use my braiserie pan. It's nice and big, It's cast iron. It's, you know, it's got sides that are about 5 inches high. And so it's nice and shallow and big. And lots of chicken fits in there. And then you've got the big lid that goes on the top. Layer the chicken over the top, and then that's when I squeeze on. I happen to have really great Meyer lemons right now from California that my brother-in-law sent. And I, two of those lemons, I cut them into slices and then squeeze a little off each slice onto the chicken and then threw the slices right in there. The nice thing about Meyer lemons, their rind is so delicate and it's so good when it's cooked. You can eat it. It's wonderful. It's not like other lemons where it's just so tart. Meyer lemon rinds are really good when they're cooked. So throw all that in there. And then a nice handful of parsley that I chopped up and sprinkle that over the top. Make sure you've seasoned with salt and pepper. Put it in the oven on 350 and let it cook for an hour. And then take off the lid for the last, another 20 minutes. If you don't feel like your chicken looks crispy or brown, or you want it to look browner, then just turn on the broiler and let it get that brown on the top. But delicious. It was perfect. Alongside that, some couscous. Easy to make. You can get couscous in the box with the seasoning already there, or you can season your own couscous. So I just used chicken broth with my couscous. You get your broth boiling, and then you put in your couscous, let it sit for about a minute. I also add in salt, pepper, a little red pepper flake, and I added some curry powder to the couscous. Then take it off the heat and set it aside for about 5 minutes, 5 to 10 minutes, and it'll cook perfectly. Couscous is one of the easiest things to cook ever. And then, I also, you know what, I bought some really nice organic carrots from Hammer and Wecon, and I cut the stems off the top and left about 2 inches, but they were beautiful carrots. And I put those in a saute pan with a little bit of water, and turned it on high and kind of poached the carrots in the water until they were tender. I didn't want them to be mushy, but they were nice. They were fork tender. And then drained the water and add a little butter, and then I just sautéed the carrots in the butter with a little salt and pepper. And that was perfect to go with that meal. And then some pita bread, warmed up, and tzatziki. Tzatziki, easy to make. You just need some plain yogurt, full fat or zero fat, however you want to have it. Kind of short on smaller containers of yogurt in town that are plain. Otherwise, you have to buy a big container. So just be aware of that, and that you're going to want to use it for other things. But I usually take a whole cucumber, maybe a cup of yogurt and a whole cucumber, take off the skin of the cucumber, and then shred the cucumber with your shredder into the yogurt. I also add a couple of garlic cloves through my garlic press, a little salt and pepper, also some feta, and not much feta, about a quarter of a cup to a third of a cup of crumbled feta in there, just for a little bit of extra tang, and a little bit of vinegar, and some olive oil. Just pour a little in over the top so it pools up, and then mix it all up with a spoon, and you have that really good tzatziki. It goes really well with this meal. So like I said, you can use lots of different spices and go different directions with this. You can add other vegetables to it. Cauliflower is a good one to add to this. So are some of those small sweet peppers. Really good. If you want to mix it up and not have chicken and use some sort of sausage, you could do that, an Italian sausage link or some sort of sausage, that would be fine too. It would go great. And of course, halibut or salmon would be good too. So it's a real good go-to, not a very expensive meal to make at all. So that was a good meal. In fact, I had some leftover today for lunch. Easy, spicy potato wedges. Just a nice russet. Cut it in half. And then cut the half in half. And then I go, I cut them into wedges from the center. So rather than having, so you have nice wedges. So you end up with six. Let's see. Yeah, you end up with six wedges per half of potato. And it makes a nice size wedge. And if you have a spice mix you want to use for that, that's great. You could just make your own spice mix. I happen to have a good Cajun spice mix I thought would be great on these. So once again, once I cut the potatoes into wedges, I put them into a bowl, added some avocado oil, and then a Cajun spice mix, mixed it all up with my hands, added some salt and pepper, parchment onto a baking sheet, and then I baked them wedge up so the skin was onto the parchment, and baked them at 350 for about 45 minutes. And then if you want, you can turn the broiler on and finish them off and get them nice and browned. But perfect to go alongside beer bits or burgers or just a snack for the kids, really. That was good. And then also this weekend, an easy coleslaw. I'm so addicted to that new mix of coleslaw out there in the bag. It's a salad mix, actually, and it has kale, and it has Brussels sprouts, and it has broccoli shreds and other cabbage. It's delicious. It comes with a poppy seed dressing and I think pepitas and cranberries, but you can do whatever you want with it and save the packet for later. I just made some coleslaw dressing and made a good coleslaw last night, and that was good too. Remember, you can pack those up in jars and put dressing on the bottom. Take them to work, empty it all out onto a plate, and you have an instant salad there. So that's what I made. I also made lots of desserts. I'm going to give you a caramel recipe coming up toward the end of What's for Dinner today, so stay with us, because next we're going to talk about sliders for the Super Bowl on What's for Dinner. Welcome back to What's for Dinner. I'm your host, Mindy Anderson. Today we're talking about sliders for the Super Bowl. And, sliders, they come in every flavor these days. I mean, you can do so much. It's, basically, it's just a smaller sandwich. But you can fill them up, a smaller sandwich, which is nice because maybe you want to have, two or three small ones instead of one big one. And then you can, try other flavors of sliders. I was thinking it'd be fun, you know, you had a few friends get together and everybody brought a different slider would be kind of fun. And then you have, you know, you're sitting through the game or whatever, and you have a little slider. Then later on you can go try another one, and later on you can go try another one. And just make sure you got some good veggies in between there. But most of the, you know, most these days, the sliders, you put some nice veggies with them, too. They're just not all about the meat. Generally, slaw, but you could use avocado, you can use pickles. I mean, you have all sorts of things you can put on sliders. So I'm just giving you some ideas today of something else that you could try. Perhaps you have some salmon in the freezer you need to use up. You can also make some halibut sliders. Blackened halibut sliders would be amazing. And you don't always have to use the little slider buns that you find in the grocery store, although you might want to, if you're planning to use those, I'd pick them up now because maybe there would be a shortage coming up. But you can use all sorts of, you can make your own buns, of course. You can also use pita bread, the smaller pitas, for sliders. I've got an idea for that coming up. Also, you could use a half of a size. You could use a baguette. It's basically a sandwich, you know. So you can use all sorts of things. You can use a biscuit as a vessel to hold your slider. Let's start off with a salmon slider, since I mentioned salmon in the refrigerator, or you have fresh salmon. A salmon slider with a tangy avocado sauce. Avocados have been pretty good right now. Limes are great. They're inexpensive. And, of course, who doesn't like salmon? It would make a nice, you know, really it's good even cold or hot or room temp. And generally you want your sliders to be room temp. They're something that can sit out and you're still going to enjoy an hour later. So, a pound of fresh salmon fillet, skin removed, and slice it thin. Also a half of a red bell pepper, a half of a yellow bell pepper sliced. You also need a half a cup of panko breadcrumbs. If you don't know what those are, you can generally find them in the Asian section of the grocery store. And they're up there, maybe on the top shelf, middle, I'm not really sure. But they're there, and they're normally in a box. It says panko. Might show a shrimp or something like that on the front with the panko breadcrumbs. So they're good for breading. Half a cup of those. And then a quarter teaspoon of kosher salt, a quarter teaspoon of cracked black pepper, and an egg. Now you have an avocado sauce. So one ripe avocado, peeled and sliced, quarter cup of mayonnaise and a quarter cup of sour cream, and a tablespoon of milk. Also, 1.5 teaspoons of white vinegar, 1/8 of a teaspoon of salt, and some cracked pepper. You can use, well, any sort of roll would work for this too. Hawaiian rolls have that sweetness, and that would be good. Also, if you want to garnish with more avocados, you can. So for the sliders, you're going to put the sliced salmon and the bell pepper into a food processor and pulse a couple times so that it's coarsely chopped. And then remove the mixture and put it in a bowl. Add the panko breadcrumbs, the kosher salt, the pepper, the egg. Mix it with a spoon. I generally, a lot of times, will just use my hands because then I know if it's holding together or not by just feeling it. If you need to, you'll add more breadcrumbs, a tablespoon at a time if it seems too wet. Shape the salmon mixture into 12 small patties on a skillet. You can use an electric skillet. You can use your stovetop. Medium-high, cook the patties 3 to 4 minutes on each side until cooked through. Remember, these are sliders, so they're not big bun-sized patties. They're small. You're going to place them on some dinner rolls, and then you're going to make your sauce. So mash your avocado, stir in the mayonnaise, sour cream, the milk, and the vinegar. Add your salt and pepper. Stir it until it's incorporated. A squeeze of lime would be super great here. spoon the tangy avocado sauce over the salmon sliders. You can top with a slice of fresh avocado and the bun and serve it warm. So, just a really good salmon slider with tangy avocado. You don't want too much to where you can't taste the salmon. Here's another idea. I love this one. This one is from Foxes Love Lemons, and this is a French onion chicken sandwich. So by French onion, what's in French onion soup? It would be onions, and then probably some Swiss cheese and chicken. So what you're going to need for this one, you're going to need some olive oil. You're going to need a white onion, thinly sliced. Also some sugar, because you're going to caramelize those onions. And then a couple of boneless, skinless chicken breasts, halved crosswise, and you're going to pound them down into about one inch thickness. And then some cooking spray, some slices of Swiss cheese, or shredded Swiss cheese, however you want to do it. Some hamburger buns, you know, smaller buns, and some baby spinach, a couple cups. So in your skillet, medium heat, add your onion and sugar, and cook about 25 minutes until the onions are caramelized, stirring frequently. You want to be careful when you're first starting the onions that you don't have the skillet too hot, because then you're just going to burn them, and you don't want that. You want to slowly cook them so that they release their sugars too, and then caramelize. You can do this in advance, and if you've got some time the night before, go ahead and caramelize the onions. Rewarm the onions in a small pan or on a grill or in the microwave when you need them. And then you're going to preheat your grill. You can use nonstick cooking spray to spray on your chicken, or you can add a little bit of oil to your chicken. You can spray the grates of your grill with some cooking spray. Transfer the chicken to your hot grill. Cover and cook for 10 minutes or until the chicken is done. Just turn once. It's one of those things. Just let it sit there. Don't mess with it too much, and then flip it when you need to. Place the cheese onto the chicken pieces. Cover and cook a minute or two till the cheese melts. You're going to build the sandwiches by using your buns, the spinach, the chicken, and the caramelized onions. If you want to, you can put a little butter on the buns and put those onto the grill and give those a little bit of a grill, and they'll have that perfect buttery sweetness that will go along really well with the caramelized onions and the cheese, that Swiss cheese, and of course that really great chicken if you don't overcook it. Don't overcook the chicken to where it's rock hard. Just until it's not pink, it's just 160 degrees. Only turn it once. Yep. Don't walk away too long. And that's a French onion chicken sandwich. We're going to stick with chicken for a minute, because I have had some really good sliders that had like a fried chicken, like a fillet of chicken that had a breading on it, and it had chipotle mayo, and it was really good. So that's an idea for a slider too. Something a little bit different that way. So for this chicken fillet slider, of course you're going to want some boneless, skinless chicken breasts. Cut them crosswise, 4 pieces. Also, you're going to need salt, sugar, paprika, black pepper, cayenne, garlic, a cup of milk, a couple large eggs, 1.5 cups of all-purpose flour, and 4 tablespoons of powdered non-fat milk. 1.5 teaspoons of baking powder, some baking soda, and some oil, because you are going to make a batter for the chicken. also some unsalted butter, about 3 tablespoons. You need 12 of the slider buns or mini burger buns and 12 dill pickle chips. It sounds good, doesn't it, already? Just that breaded chicken breast on a sandwich. I love those. Can't eat them very often, though. Every now and then it's good. Also, you want to combine the salt and the sugar with some water. Whisk it until it's dissolved. Add your chicken and refrigerate for up to 3 hours. So just making a sugar salt brine. Then combine your paprika, the black pepper, the cayenne, and the garlic in a small bowl. Whisk together the milk and the eggs in a medium bowl and set aside. Combine your flour, your non-fat milk powder, which I've never used in a breading before. I've never just put non-fat milk flour in a breading. So that's new to me, and I can see why it would make a delicious breading. Also, baking powder, a tablespoon of kosher salt, and a tablespoon of spice mixture in a large bowl. Whisk it to combine. And that's the spice mixture, the paprika that you did earlier, the cayenne and the garlic and the pepper. Add 4 tablespoons of milk to the egg mixture. Add 4 tablespoons of milk egg mixture into the flour mixture and rub with your fingertips until the flour mixture is coarse. In your Dutch oven, preheat your oil to 350. Remove the chicken breast from the brine, pat dry, and season on both sides with your spice mixture. Dip in the milk mixture, then transfer to the flour mixture. Turn to coat it, pressing on the chicken to get as much of the flour mixture as you can on the cutlet. Shake off excess flour, place onto a rack, set over a sheet pan. Repeat with the remaining chicken until all of it's coated. Cook, turning the breast occasionally until golden brown and crisp on all sides. The chicken is cooked through about 2 to 3 minutes total. Transfer to a paper towel lined plate. Melt a tablespoon of butter in a large skillet. Toast the split buns until golden brown, working in batches. Add more butter if needed. Put a pickle on the bottom bun, cover with a piece of chicken, and serve. It would be really good with a slaw, too. Super good. So there you have it. That's a nice... I love paprika and cayenne and black pepper and garlic. It's just kind of one of those spices that you could use for so many things, especially chicken. But once you make your chicken, it's easy. You can make a bunch of sliders in a matter of no time and bring them on a tray. There's also fun sliders where you put all the sliders on a sheet, cookie sheet, and maybe a ham and cheese type of slider or a roast beef slider. You put all your fixings on there and add your top bun. Put foil over all of it and put it in the oven and heat it that way. Then you have these nice soft sliders and they're all on a baking sheet. And that's where we're getting this saucy roast beef and Swiss slider. This is from Sweet Eats Holiday Treats. And this is from DailyDishRecipes.com. This is for 24 sliders, and this would be very easy for game day or whenever you're having a group of people over or a bunch of teenagers. 24 Hawaiian rolls, 24 slices of roast beef, and 24 slices of Swiss cheese. You're going to make a sauce with 4 teaspoons of Dijon mustard, 4 tablespoons of melted butter, and 2 teaspoons of onion powder. Also, one of my favorites, 1/2 teaspoon of Worcestershire sauce and 1 tablespoon of poppy seeds. Mustard, butter, onion powder, Worcestershire, poppy seeds. Great sauce. Preheat your oven to 350. Cut your Hawaiian rolls in half. Fold a slice of roast beef in half to fit the roll. Top with a slice of Swiss. Return the top bun to the sandwich. Repeat with all the remaining sliders. Place the sandwiches in a baking pan, all 12 of them. 12 each, two baking pans. Combine the mustard, butter, the onion powder, the Worcestershire. Drizzle the sauce over the tops of the slider buns. Sprinkle with the poppy seeds. Cover the pan with tin foil and bake in the oven for 10 to 12 minutes. How easy is that? Remove the tin foil about 8 minutes in and serve hot. You could do that with ham and cheese. It would make same sauce. It would be great. I've actually had this recipe for quite a while, and it's kind of a slider, an upscale slider. I love the gingery steak, the brie, and a balsamic cranberry sauce, but the whole thing together, delicious. And this makes about 20 sliders. You can use short ribs for this. The recipe calls for short ribs, or you can just use any other sort of beef that you want to use. You can use a roast beef. Really, anything, you know, it's going to go with brie. It's going to go with balsamic cranberry. It needs to be, you know, a red meat would be good. Lamb would work really well with this. If you're a vegetarian, then you're certainly, you could use mushrooms and it'd be great. So 5 pounds of bone-in short ribs or any other cut of meat, a couple tablespoons of olive oil and some salt and pepper, and then some of my favorite things, quarter cup of soy sauce, quarter cup of Worcestershire, half a cup of balsamic vinegar, and a half a cup of red wine, or you could use chicken broth. Red wine's going to make it really rich. 4 cloves of garlic, minced or grated. A tablespoon of fresh grated ginger. You also need 8 ounces of brie cheese sliced. Some arugula for topping. And 20 to 30 slider buns toasted. That's what's great about some of these recipes. You can make so many. So if you have another 2 or 3 people bring another recipe, before you know it, you have all the sliders to choose from. Balsamic cranberry sauce. You need, of course, 1.5 cups of fresh cranberries, 1/3 cup of balsamic vinegar, 1/3 cup of water, also some brown sugar. You could use honey instead of brown sugar. That'd be okay. 1 teaspoon of fresh rosemary chopped and 2 teaspoons of fresh ginger grated. The night before or the morning of, you're going to heat your skillet, heavy bottom skillet, over medium-high heat. Add your olive oil. If you're using the short ribs, add the ribs to the skillet, sprinkle with some salt and pepper, sear them, or whatever meat you're using, if it's a piece of beef or whatever. Sear it on all sides for about a minute. You can put them in a bowl of a crock pot or in a Dutch oven. And if you're making them in the crock pot, you're adding ribs, soy sauce, Worcestershire, the balsamic, the red wine, the garlic, and the ginger to the crock pot. Add the water until the ribs are submerged halfway, around 1 to 2 cups. Cover and cook that on 6 to 8 hours over low, or 4 to 6 hours on high, until the meat shreds, basically. You can't, say, oh, I'm going to, you know, you can't get up Sunday morning and decide, oh, I'm going to make these and think that they're going to be done in time. It's just best to make them ahead of time. Shred the meat, keep the meat on warm setting until serving time. If you're going to make them in the oven, same thing. You have your ribs, soy sauce, Worcestershire sauce, the vinegar, the red wine, the garlic, and the ginger to a cast iron Dutch oven or some sort of Dutch oven. Make sure it has a tight fitting lid. Add your water once again until your ribs are halfway submerged, and then cook in a 325 oven for 2.5 to 3 hours. So if you're in a hurry, you'll want to go the oven route. Shred the meat, keep it covered on low until serving time. Then to make your cranberry sauce, cranberries, the balsamic vinegar, the water, the sugar, or honey, rosemary, and ginger in your medium-sized pot. Put that over medium-high heat. Bring it to a boil and then reduce it down and simmer. Simmer for about 10 minutes. Let the sauce thicken. Season with some salt and pepper. So to serve, you're going to add the shredded warm meat to the bottom of a bun, slider bun, top with a slice of brie cheese. If that meat is hot, that brie is going to melt over that warm meat. You can also put the cheese on top of the slider and put it in the oven on a broil and broil the cheese so it becomes nice and brown on top and melts. Then you top with the cranberry sauce and the arugula, and you put the sandwich on the top bun. One thing that's really cool, if you want to get kind of fancy, you can you can take a rosemary sprig, you know, and with the stem included, and poke that all the way through. It's kind of a fun way to skewer a little fancy slider. And then I also wanted to give you one more today. See how many sliders? You can have, everyone can have a, there's a slider for everybody here today. I am not giving you a plain old beef burger slider because you know how to make those, or a turkey burger slider. So I wanted to give you something a little different, and it just goes on and on. What about a tuna slider? But falafel burgers, you can make some falafel burgers. You can buy falafel in a box, the mix, where you add water and a little oil and let it sit for 10 minutes. Form it into patties. You can either bake the patties or you can fry them in a skillet and turn those into little sliders using the small pita breads, one on top, one on bottom. Add some tzatziki, which we talked about earlier, and some cucumber, maybe some arugula, and you have a really nice falafel burger. If you want to make the falafel from scratch, you could do that too. You just need garbanzo beans or chickpeas, drained and rinsed, a couple cans of that, a small chopped red onion, a couple cloves of minced garlic, some parsley, dried, or you want to use fresh, that's good. 3.5 tablespoons of whole wheat flour, white flour if you'd rather. Cumin, coriander, chili powder, a tablespoon of each of those. Teaspoon of crushed red pepper, also some turmeric, salt and pepper, and an egg. And you mix all of that together. A couple slices of whole wheat bread or white bread. Some garlic salt, olive oil. And so when you're making your falafel from scratch, you take the chickpeas, the onion, the garlic, the spices, the flour, the salt, and the pepper in a bowl. Or you can put it in your food processor. So you can process in a food processor by pulsing. Or you can just smash the garbanzo beans down, and that's fine too. Add your egg and mix it all well. You're going to form it into 6 patties or smaller, depends on what size of a little slider you want. And then you have some pieces of torn bread into chunks, pieces of bread torn into chunks, a little garlic salt. And you process that down into fine crumbs in your food processor, or you can just use some sort of breadcrumb. Panko is okay, too. You can pour those into a bowl, dredge the patties in the crumbs one by one. And you don't need to use egg. When I make my salmon patties at home, I make the patty, and then I put some sort of coating on the outside, whatever I have. It's either breadcrumbs, or it's panko, or it's cracker crumb, or, I mean, I've been known to, like, grind up whatever I can find that's crunchy and coat my salmon patties with it and then put it in a skillet and fry it. And you don't need to put egg on your patty first. You're going to bake those in the oven for about 8 minutes, flip and bake for another 8 minutes. And then while they're baking, you can make your tzatziki, once again, your yogurt and whatever you want in there. Definitely you would want some cucumber in there. Olive oil, maybe some dill, garlic, lemon juice or lime juice. Pulse that until smooth if you really want it nice and creamy. And then after your falafel are done baking, you can finish them off by putting them in a little olive oil in your pan and 3 to 4 minutes on each side in a skillet. Then to assemble your burger, you pour in a couple spoonfuls of tzatziki on the pita. Add the burger. You could add a tomato. You could just add some cucumber. Take the skin off the cucumber and slice up really thin and pile some cucumber on there. And top with a little more tzatziki and delicious. Put another pita on top. And you have a really cool slider, and delicious and healthy. And that's it about talk about sliders. So you can just about make anything out of a slider. And remember, I said halibut too. A halibut, blackened halibut slider would be really good. It's basically a small bite. That's what it is. Kind of fun. And you can pile them really high. You can put long picks through them. You can put a pick with a pickle. Or something else, maybe a fun radish on top, but dress them up a little bit and turn it into some fun, and they'll be delicious. Coming up next, I've got the drink of the week. Up next on What's for Dinner. Welcome back to What's for Dinner. It's time for the drink of the week. This is the time of the year, I've mentioned it before, that I just love lemon. I'm all about lemon, especially if you have those gorgeous Meyer lemons. But it's a good time of the year to have a lemon drop cocktail. It's been a long time since I've given a recipe for a lemon drop cocktail, and I'm thirsty just thinking about it, really. Just one would be just hit the spot, and they're so refreshing and so delicious. You got to be careful because you don't want to drink too much. You know, really, you don't taste the alcohol in them. Really, you could just make one without the alcohol, and it'd be just delicious, too, but I'm giving you the one with vodka today. 2 cups of frozen vodka, 1/2 cup of freshly squeezed lemon juice. If you happen to have Meyer lemons, those would be the best. And I'm not sure, you know, maybe I'll ask the grocery stores in town if we can get some Meyer lemons up here, because there's so many things you can do with them that the lemons we get, they're just too tart. So we'll see what we can do about that. But if you can, you know, a regular lemon, that's fine too. You need 1/2 cup of the freshly squeezed lemon juice. Also, a half of a cup of super fine sugar. You can take raw sugar and you can put it through your food processor and grind it up so it's fine. You could use a powdered sugar would be okay. I really do like that flavor of a raw sugar and then grind it up so it's its own powder. Really good with this. And then one lemon thinly sliced and some ice. That's it. And you just combine the vodka, the lemon juice, the sugar, pour it into a cocktail shaker with ice, pour it into martini glasses, and garnish with lemon slices. And I've had them before with the lemon drop candy floating, or not floating, sinking to the bottom. Very fun. Lemon drop cocktail. Sounds great, and sounds nice for Valentine's Day, too. And support for What's for Dinner comes from Keto's Cave and Liquor Store, with a large selection of beers, wines, brandies, and rums to cook with, accompany any meal or potluck, or for mixing in a new favorite drink. On Singly Alley and open 7 days a week. I don't always do the sweet tooth section of What's for Dinner, but I made such a great caramel sauce this weekend that I really wanted to share it with you. I was at the grocery store looking around for caramel, and it took me longer to look for caramel than it did to make this caramel sauce recipe. It's so easy. Really, it is. You don't have to be scared to make a good caramel, and you don't have to worry about the popping and, you know, the splattering all over the place of caramel when it's pretty easy. I mean, it's caramel. It's sugary. It is definitely sugary, buttery, creamy. This is a salted caramel, and you can make this and have it in your refrigerator for quite a while. Put it in a jar with a lid on it and store it in the refrigerator. Great for dipping apples in. In fact, if you bake some apples or roast some apples, this is a great caramel sauce to drizzle over the top. Or really to drizzle over anything, a cake, you name it. It's this easy, and this will make several cups of caramel. A couple cups of packed brown sugar, and one stick of salted butter. You want to cut it into pieces. Also, a half a cup of heavy cream, a pinch of salt or more. Depends on how salty you want your caramel. I like mine to be salty. And a teaspoon of vanilla extract. You add your brown sugar and cream and salt to a saucepan and just heat it up, stir it together with a wooden spoon or a silicone spatula, whatever you want to use. So easy. It just all melts together nicely. And then add your butter. Allow the butter to melt and then let it reach a boil. And then cook until the caramel sauce thickens, about 5 to 7 minutes. I kept stirring and stirring. You know, I stood there with my whisk. It was fine. Remove from heat, stir in the vanilla, allow to cool about 5 minutes, pour it into your container for storing, or you're going to use it. How simple is that? You know, at first I was looking around for a large container of caramel, thinking, oh, I'm just going to buy some caramel. I'm not going to mess with making caramel today. I had too many other things to make, and it was just one more thing to do. And then I was looking around the grocery store and thinking, well, then I couldn't find a big container of caramel, and then I found some smaller containers of caramel, and after looking at the ingredients on the back, I thought, oh, I can make this so much easier and quicker. So I picked up my ingredients, and bam, before you know it, you got caramel made in 10 minutes. And you know what's in it, and there you go, and you'll have extra. Thanks for tuning in today to What's for Dinner. That's it. That's all I have. Hopefully I've inspired you to make some sliders for Super Bowl. Maybe you've ordered some from someone too, making sliders. a fundraiser or something. But you can make your own, too. It's not that hard. Have your friends bring some, and you can have a slider party. Good luck with that. Happy eating, happy cooking. And we'll be back next week with more recipes and inspiration. We'll see you in the grocery store.